Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the very Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, amen, on this blessed Sunday, wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day you have blessed us to see, another opportunity you have caused us to assemble together to go into the Word of God. This day, Lord God, we petition you once again that not only that your Spirit be with us according to your Word, where you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst, but dear God, that you will release what we need. For your Word has declared to us that your Spirit is the Spirit of revelation. So, Lord God, we know when we want true revelation, we know who to come to, and that's you. So, therefore, Lord, don't let us take this journey in your Word without getting something out of it. So, therefore, we ask that you release through your Spirit into our spirit right now the revelation we need of your Word. And, Father, I pray, personal prayer, that you will word my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name, to rightly divide your Word as I give it to the listeners, and bless the listeners to turn to you in Jesus' name. About what they hear, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Tonight we are on part three concerning the spiritualists, their teaching and belief about Jesus. After tonight, we'll have one more part, part four, and then we'll be going to a new section of series. Amen. Now, once again, I want to reiterate to those of you who've been listening, and some of you, maybe you are first-time listeners. Hey, if you're a first-time listener, you come in on part three. After you listen tonight, go back and listen to part one and two so you can be caught up to speed. And any series that was before that, I ask that you listen unto that. Now, once again, if you're on this page, listening and looking at this concerning this broadcast, it should be a picture of a Bible on it. You click on it, a drop box should show up, and you'll see episodes. Click on episodes, and it'll show you all the episodes that we have done. And that's the beautiful thing about Blog Talk Radio is that it records the episodes that we have done. Amen. So, therefore, I want to encourage you, after you listen to part three tonight, hey, go back and listen to part two and part one. Amen. And so we have been looking at concerning the religion called Spiritism, and the people that are members of it are called spiritualists. We've been looking at some of the things that they teach and believe, and we're looking to see, does it measure up to the Bible? And thus far, we've been finding out it don't. Now, I like to go by God's protocol and mouth two or three witnesses. And so this is witness number three tonight. We're going to have one more witness that'd be number four. But I'm doing this because there are reasons why I'm doing it. One of the reasons is that I want all to know the truth. And, you know, whether you believe it or not, many of these spiritualists, some of the stuff they teach and believe, if you were even to look up online, they'll tell you that these are teachers of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, they will straight out tell you that we are carrying on the teachings of Christ. This stuff that they've been teaching is not no teaching of Jesus. Jesus never taught you to communicate with demons. He never taught you and told you that you will be communicating with the dead. He never taught you that, okay? And so this is what we're going into. This is what we've been going on. And I'm also giving this that perhaps some spiritualists that's listening, that God would grab a hold of them and touch their hearts and bring them to the knowledge of the real truth. real truth. See, there's truth that, you know, people may give, and there is real truth. Sometimes people give you and they say, hey, this is the truth, and it ain't nowhere near the truth, then a cat is a dog. But there is real truth. And God is the number one person that always present real truth, because it is not in his nature to lie. God cannot lie, and he will not lie to you. Amen? Understand that. The devil will lie to you all day. Lie to you all day, won't flinch, won't bother him, sleep well, okay? But see, God, that is not in the nature of God. So therefore, we will come to understand that the word of God is the word of God. And as I told you before, you know, these, let me tell you something. These religions, like I said, they straight out come and tell you that what they're teaching is from God, okay? And you got some people, and even some who claim to be believers, have accepted this claim. And, you know, the sad thing about it, they have accepted it without even searching. You know, when the devil see that you're not a searcher and that you don't study and you won't look up nothing, hey, he know he can get anything about by you. And so you have these religions this day, all of them claiming God. And we want to see if they're claiming the true God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. If they are, then what they teach and believe would match up with what the word of God from the Bible says, okay? But if it don't, whoa, then what they're giving is not from, it's not the word of God. I hope that you understand what I'm saying. And so this is what I've been doing in this series and looking on this note, not to toot my own horn, not to be a big shot, but I personally believe, and get this, Brother Nate is not the only one doing this. Let's understand that too. Because, see, sometimes when you're doing things like this and giving the word of God and giving some things that, you know, the word of God exposes anything that's a lie, some people act like you're the only one doing it. I'm not the only one doing it. There have been, there are, and there will be other believers doing the same thing, okay? Why? Because God does not want you to be caught up in deception. He does not want you to be deceived. He does not want a lie to have an entanglement on you or attach his tendons to you and have you locked down. He don't want you to be deceived by any lies that is claiming that he supports what they're teaching and believing. Okay? He don't want you caught up by that. You know, any true parent, you look in on earth, any true, I say true, earthly parent on earth don't want their children to be caught up in lies and don't want their children to be deceived. Any loving parent, most of them, for the most part, is not going to sit up there when they see their child is being lied to or being misled and that child is following what he's being told. They're not going to just stand up there and not try to stop. You understand what I'm saying? So God is the same way with us. Amen? Now, we are on part three tonight, okay? Glory be to God. And we're going to start off once again, and we're looking at our third witnesses on these four things that we're looking at again tonight. First of all, we want to look at once again concerning the Redeemer. Now, I want to give you a definition first before I go in and read to you once again what the spiritualist has to say concerning the Redeemer. Okay? Now, the word Redeemer itself means someone who redeems, okay? Now, someone who redeems, and in the most part, we are talking about here in three areas. Number one, redeem means to buy back or repurchase. Now, we are told once again in the book of Corinthians, as what? We were bought with a price. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God he did it. Second thing about redeem means to free from what distresses or harms. In other words, to free from captivity by payment or ransom. Now, we're told in the Bible that Jesus did what? Gave himself a ransom for all men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then the third thing, redeem means to atone for. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus did that. His blood was shed, which we'll get to that last. Now, having given you that definition, explained that, once again, let me share with you what the spiritualist was teaching and saying. And one of the things about the spiritualists, too, I come to find out there, certain of their churches say, no, we we don't believe and teach on that. But for the most part, they do. Okay. Now you got certain of their so-called churches that come out and straight and tell you, but then you got certain ones. No, we don't stand about that. Yeah, when it come down to the come down, yeah, you do. Now, let me read to you the information once again what they say about the Redeemer, coming from what they call their Spiritualist Manual, 1940, titled "What Is Spiritualism?" And it says, "Spiritualism is the broad educator, the great Redeemer, the emancipator, which releases human souls from the bondage of superstition and ignorance, lifts the clouds or error that have so long enshrouded the world and illuminized the darkness of the world's materiality." Okay? So once again, we see here that spiritualist says that spiritualism is the great Redeemer. Now, we've been looking at the witnesses that from the Bible, and see us the Bible supported with its witnesses, and according to what we've been saying, N-O means no, okay? So we looked at two witnesses already on this subject, glory be to God. Now we're going to look on the third witness on this subject that tell you, say, hey, no, spiritualism is not the great Redeemer. Jesus is. So what I want to do, as we look at our third witness, glory be to God, that would show that this is not true, we're going to go to the book that the Bible supports, okay, as it mentions it in Isaiah 29:11, okay, the words of a book was delivered to him that was not learned and delivered to one that is learned. And that book, and also Ezekiel mentions the two sticks, the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph, the stick of Joseph also being this book that I want to read from. It is called The Record of the Nephite, that me and the late brother Robert Gross, thank God for the brother, me and him together had introduced this book of the Lord to you. Once again, it's in the past episodes. You can go back and look it up concerning what we say about the Record of Nephite. Now, I want to read to you a verse that it says out of this Nephite record, and the word says this as it is recorded here, and it says, "Teach them," talking about God's people, "teach them that redemption cometh through Christ the Lord, which is the very eternal Father." Now, redemption, that's the action, the act of redeeming, okay? It comes through Christ. So Christ is the Redeemer. Christ put the act of redeeming in motion by what he did. He is the Redeemer. Not spiritualism or not any religion. No religion can be the great Redeemer, can be a Redeemer, okay? And there's no doubt that some people this day look to religion as being their Redeemer. Religion cannot be your Redeemer, okay? Religion could not be the sacrifice that you needed to be delivered from, as I share with you, I think that was in part one or part two, to be delivered from death, sickness, and poverty. Religion can't do that. It took a true sacrifice to do that, and that was Jesus. Amen? So religion can't do that. So Christ is the great Redeemer, okay? Not religion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the very plan and act of redeeming comes through Jesus. Once again, not spiritualism. It comes through Jesus Christ, okay? So we want to keep that in mind, as now we have looked at three witnesses on it to show that, hey, Christ is the Redeemer. Amen. And this is what the man of God said here in the Record of Nephite. That and remember, this Record of Nephite, this recording of how God dealt with them over on this continent and all that, was written by servants and men of the Lord. Okay, so therefore, he had proclaimed, glory be to God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, and this proclamation, even being before Christ came in the flesh to do it, redemption comes through Jesus, okay? There's no other way. So when you're coming across people that make you think that the religion they given to you is the one that redeemed, then you better bag off. You better bag off, because Christ is the one that redeems. He is the great redeemer, not spiritualism. Okay? So we want to keep, like I said, you want to keep that in mind. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and not forget that. This, listen, Christ have commissioned his born-again believers to spread the gospel, to tell the world about him. That's why in Isaiah he said, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, not the knowledge of spiritism, not the knowledge of Hinduism, not the knowledge of Baha'i faith, knowledge of who? Of the Lord. That's God's main ultimate plan, one of the parts of his ultimate plan in the end, is that this whole earth be full of the knowledge of him, not the knowledge of spiritism, but the knowledge of him, the knowledge of who he is and what he did, okay? That's the desire of God. So it is God's desire for his people to spread the gospel and to tell the people about Jesus. That's the desire of God. So Christian, you that's listening to me now, if you just sitting around being doing nothing, then you doing an injustice to God, and my advice to you is to repent. Amen. Because some of y'all do carry the notion like, we ain't got to tell the people nothing. God's such a loving God, he understands. Yeah, he understands that you sitting around not doing anything. I remember when I did that, man, conviction hit me so bad. Amen. For a while, I tried to fight it. It just kept coming back to me until finally I had to repent. So I went a space of a few years. I didn't hardly do too much of nothing in spreading the word of God. And God got on me, okay? And he showed me that. I had to repent, okay? Because this technology we got now, I really didn't even think about using the internet or nothing like that. Man, no. Even when Brother Lee talked to me about it, I was like, yeah, okay. I still wasn't, you know. But then God got a hold of me one day and said, hey, you can be delivering my message. There is no reason why you're sitting around. There's no excuse. And like I said, people, I was convicted. I had to repent. And see, God wants you to let these people know about Jesus, because guess what? He loves them too. Yeah. Well, Brother Nate ain't saved. It don't make no difference. He still love them. God loved them so much, he said, listen, I want you to come to the truth and be delivered. God wants them to be delivered. Well, Brother Nate, they might not accept it. Well, you're right. They may not. That ain't stopping you from spreading it. You start spreading it to them and they cut you off one hour, but hey, then you can stop. At least you went to attempt to do your part. But to just sit back and just many times just make this assumption, oh, they ain't going to hear it all that. You know, that's really on what we call the excuse trail. Amen. Now, I want to look at the second thing. Once again, what they said again about the conception of Christ, okay, from one of their, I guess, members or leaders or whatever, Hawias, H-A-W-E-I-S, I hope I pronounced it right, Hawias, and this is what he said. Advanced spirits do not teach the atonement of Christ, nothing of the kind. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. No, it says, the miraculous conception of Christ is merely a fabulous tale. The miraculous conception of Christ is merely a fabulous tale. In other words, it's a lie. It's a lie. They say it's a lie. Okay? Christ's conception was miraculous. They say it's a lie. So, Christian, what do you do? What do you do if they're standing up here and a spiritualist is talking to you? Where there are other souls around just listening. And let's say these are souls that are really listening. And maybe they're perhaps there are souls that really want to out for some truth. And a spiritualist tell you, say, you know what? The miraculous conception of Christ was a fabulous tale. So what are you going to do? Just sit there and keep your mouth closed? Now, this ain't about you trying to argue. Don't y'all hear me. Don't be jumping the gun. Nate, Brother Nate, trying to promote argument. No, but you got to be willing. The Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You got to be willing to stand, people.
We running and ducking behind beds and trees and all that stuff and hiding from folks because we are scared to speak up. So here they said that the miraculous conception of Christ is a fabulous tale. It's a lie. Now, I brought you two witnesses that said, hey, they don't know what they're talking about. Christ's conception was miraculous. Well, let's look at a third witness. Let's go to the book of Matthew in the Bible here. The book of Matthew, chapter 1. The book of Matthew, chapter 1. And this is our third witness. Glory to God. Matthew records what was told to Joseph by an angel. Okay? Amen. Matthew, chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 18 to verse 23. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to verse 23. Now, the word of God says, now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, but that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, do you see that? Now, what made this a miraculous conception according to the angel to Joseph? The angel told him that which was conceived in her is what? Is of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't of a man and a woman. It wasn't of her coming together with a man or sleeping with a man. See, remember, Joseph is finding out she's pregnant, and Joseph's like, I know I ain't been with her, and he's having some thoughts about putting up away secretly. At least he didn't try to make an open show with her and embarrass her. You know, sometimes when people find something, you know, concerning you did wrong, they want to make an open show. They want to embarrass you. That's the wrong spirit, okay? Now, I know sometimes some things you have to confront in the open, but when you just straightway just want to, you know, because you found something bad on someone, just to want to embarrass them, you know, hey, you know, that's just the wrong spirit. And see, Joseph wasn't that type of man because why? He was a just man. So even though he's looking at this woman he's supposed to be getting ready to marry, she already pregnant, you know what he thinks. Oh, she done fooled around with some man before she got to me. I ain't going to make no open show of her. I'm going to put her away privately. And the angel of the Lord come to him in the dream and told him, said, this which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, how many scriptures do you think they heard recorded, okay, that somebody was conceived in the womb of the Holy Ghost, okay? The next thing, once again, that made it so miraculous was that the angel would let them know it, you know, witness to the scripture in Isaiah when he said that a virgin shall be with child. Well, you know, normally on earth, people know there ain't no virgin is going to give birth to a child. That you're talking about, you know, they planning, you know, they do their surrogating stuff, but I'm talking about naturally. No. If she giving the birth to a child, for the most part, what? She have been with a man. So now he called it a virgin. So this is what makes Christ's conception miraculous. So what the spiritualist is talking about is wrong. And the Bible does not support it. It doesn't support it whatsoever. Now, once again, I told you at the start of this broadcast that many of these spiritualists, if you even look online, they're claiming that these stuff they're teaching is the teachings of Christ. See, Jesus warned us in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. When the disciples asked him, what is the sign of your coming, the end of the world and all that, what did the first thing Jesus said? He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Deception, people. Deception. And see, now, you got people teaching stuff, and they're saying, we're continuing with the teachings of Jesus Christ. And see, here's the sad thing. Some of us as Christians, we're taking it because they mentioned Jesus Christ. And we don't even search up. and somebody come around and say, hey, those spiritualists are nice Christians, ain't they? There sure is, because they said they're going on with the teaching of Jesus Christ. Really? And you looked it up when? I mean, come on. You dealing with an enemy out there named Satan. Satan, for the most part, is not coming at you straight up. And when he want to destroy you, he works on deceiving you many times first. So therefore, he going to come with some deceptive stuff. And so you sitting up there saying, well, you know, they said that they was following Jesus. I don't care. Did you search it up? Did you look it up? Okay? And did you just take them at face value? Sad to say, most of us, what we've done, we're taking it at face value. Sad to say, we're taking it at face value. So this is our third witness to show. This is the angel of the Lord speaking to Joseph in a dream and letting us know about how miraculous this conception was going to be. Okay? Amen. Yeah. And notice that, once again, the angel told Joseph that she shall bring forth a son and thou shall call his name Jesus, which is the same thing that the angel told Mary. So why cannot God tell a person one thing and tell another person the same thing? Just like you got people, you know, I talk about the record of Nephi and the word of the Lord. They get, the Bible's the only book. I said, well, the record of Nephi is a record of people that live here on this continent during the prehistoric times. You mean to tell me that what God told them in the Bible, he can't tell these people over here? He created who? All men. So you mean to tell me he can't, he only could talk to people over there in Jerusalem? Come on, y'all, let's get real. You're living in God. I mean, if he only could talk to men in Jerusalem, how come he can't talk to people that he created, that he led over here to this continent? He can't tell them the same thing. Do you mean God forgets what he tells you? If that be the case, we are all in trouble, okay? Because if God can't remember what he told me and he turned around talking to you, Lord, we serving a God that's sick? I think not. I really do think not. Amen. Now, let's look at the third thing here. And the third thing is dealing with the divinity of Christ. The divinity of Christ, okay? Glory be to God. Talking about, you know, Christ's divinity, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. The word divine means proceeding directly from God or is a God. Proceeding directly from God or is a God. Now, let me read to you what they have to say about that with Jesus and that. They said, it is an absurd idea that Jesus was any more divine or any more proceeding from God or is a God than any other man. You know, the devil, he always trying to get people to break Jesus down to nothing. I wonder how any of you ever noticed that. The main thing that Satan is going to attack is concerning Jesus. He ain't just fully worried about just attacking your color or your gender. He may involve that in some of his plan. But the ultimate thing he wants to do is to attack any truth about Christ, because he don't want people to accept it. Why? Because he know that if people accept Jesus, Satan in trouble. Ain't nothing he can do. When they with an honest heart said, Lord, I accept you in my heart, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord, that devil go to trembling, kicking like a baby, screaming and mad, okay? So they said it is an absurd idea. This is another one of their members, W-E-I-S-S-E, I think you pronounce that as Weiss, who said this. He said it's an absurd idea. Have you ever noticed the kind of adjectives they put in there? They try to make you, they try to convince you to it just to the ridiculous for you to even think of something like that, to talk about Jesus was any more divine than any other man. What? He is God. Glory. Well, let's look at our third witness on that. Once again, coming from the book that the Bible supports, from Isaiah 29 and in the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is the stick of Joseph. And in Isaiah 29 through Isaiah is the words of the book that was delivered to one that was learned and unlearned, called the record of the Nephite. I want to read to you what one of the men of God have to say on that subject here, being our third witness. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, here it is. Yea, and I know that ye know that in the body he shall show himself today at Jerusalem. This is talking about God incarnating in the flesh, from whence we came, for it is expedient. Now, note he said from whence we came, and we explained to you about the Nephite record, because one of these groups that came over here to this country, to this nation, was those who was Israelites of the house of Joseph, led over here, who came from Jerusalem. He said, for it is expedient that it should be among them, for it behooveth the great creator. Now, who's the great creator? God. It behooveth the great creator that he suffer himself to become subject unto man in the flesh and die for all men, that all men might become subject unto him. So who do we know died for all men? Jesus. So Jesus and the great creator is the same being. Okay? So how is it they saying he was no more divine, no more God than man? Yeah, man is not capital G God. And there's a scripture that said that man was God, but one day we'll talk about that again. You're not talking about the capital G God, number one ruler and all that. It was a reason why that was said, but we'll look at that another time. So they're not really God. And he came directly from God. Why? Because I showed you in John, and I just read to you here from the Nephite record, that he incarnated in the flesh. See, God did what only God could do and no one else could do. None of these servants of the Lord here on this earth could have been the sacrifice. None of them could have done what he did, because the sacrifice had to be pure. Remember when they sacrificed the animals, just like the lamb, it had to be a pure lamb, okay? Well, see, could no animal take away sin? They can only cover sin. So when they sacrificed the animal and shed his blood, the blood was a representation of how the true shedding was going to do, but the shedding of the blood of the animal was only to cover the sin. And this is why they had to do that each year. Well, with Christ, his blood being, he being the Lamb of God, pure sacrifice, no sin, amen, no sin, his blood shedded had the power to take away sin. So therefore, God, according to John chapter 1, being the Word, in the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became what? Flesh. So you're saying, well, Jesus no more divine. No, that ain't true. That's not true, people. Amen. Hallelujah. Same being of what we call the Godhead. Okay, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. People said the Trinity. Well, I don't see that word Trinity in the Bible. I see the Godhead. So that's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it like the Bible called it. I'm going to call it like the Word of God called it. The Godhead. Regular Nephite call it the Godhead. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God for the Word of the Lord. Amen. He is God, people. And you know, you got so many of these religions, they reject, most of them reject all about Christ. You know, Christian Science said all what he did and everything was an illusion. Okay? That's what they call it, an illusion. And as I shared with you before, you notice the devil is always accusing Jesus of something that he is, a liar. And I always accuse Jesus of being doing illusions and masquerade stuff. No. Jesus don't operate in deception. He don't operate in delusion. Okay? Amen. He don't, hallelujah. He don't operate in that. That's not in his nature. That's in the nature of the devil. Okay? Amen. That's who wants you to, and he wants you to think that Christ is a fake. Some of the people that he tends to get, like I shared with you, I think that was last night, is people that's mad at God. Now, I ain't say they're the only one. But some of the people he tend to get, especially spiritists and spiritism get, is people that mad at God. Why? Because there are people who've been mad at God because, like I said, they say, well, I prayed for Uncle Sal. Me and Uncle Sal were close, and she still died. I prayed to God, said, God, let him live. He still died. Now they are upset and mad at God. So whatever is brought to down Jesus, they accept it with the quickness, as we used to say back in the days. They accept it with the quickness. Boom. You tell them that Jesus is not God? Yeah, I believe you. I agree. And so they accepted it, you know. Amen. And so, therefore, sitting here like the spiritualists do and say, Jesus was no more divine than any other man. Well, you have some people that got a chip on their shoulder against Christ. Oh, man, that's all they had to say. They don't need no proof. They, oh, yeah, you're right. There's no way. I don't believe nothing about Christ. You're right. And they jump on in on it, okay? And don't realize that they are jumping into a curse. Amen. Jumping dead into a curse. And, you know, the thing about it, you know, when you think about it and see they jumping into this curse, they think that they're going to get all the benefits. That's one thing about the devil. Tricky, cunning, you name it. And he'll give you some of what you would call good things. And you think he's giving it to you because he likes you and wants to see you prosper. N-O, not K-N-O-W, N-O, no, no. He's doing that to weave you in. Have you ever met people that maybe have done you like that or try to do you like that? They try to give you something, quote, good, and they had a hidden motive. You find out later on they had a hidden motive behind it. Okay? Amen? Well, that's how Satan is. It's the nature of the enemy. Yeah, he, you know, glory to God. Now, let's look at our fourth and final thing tonight. Well, they, once again, the atonement, okay? The atonement. You know, what we had looked at what they had to say about the atonement. Now, once again, let me give a definition of the word atonement again. The word atonement means to make amends. It also means the reconciliation of God and humankind through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Now, let me read to you once again what they had to say about the atonement. They said, advanced spirits do not teach the atonement of Christ, nothing of the kind. Your doctrine of the atonement is a very climax of a deranged imagination and one that is of the unrighteous and immoral tendency. Whoa. We regret and condemn the practice of spiritualists sending their children to be instructed in the teaching of a vicarious atonement or salvation by faith and not of works. Once again, this is recorded at a spiritualistic convention they had in Bradford, England. So they say that you are deranged if you believe. In other words, they said this doctrine even came from a deranged mind. A deranged imagination to believe such a thing that Jesus had sacrificed himself. Mankind may be, you know, redeemed and reconciled to the Lord. And they said that's deranged. Glory to God. Now, we're going to look at our third witness once again, coming from the book that the Bible supports called The Record of the Nephite. Amen. Glory to God. And I want to read passage of scripture to you, what is said. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God on this subject that we're looking at here. Thank you, Lord. So I thank God for the word of the Lord, because we need the word of the Lord, people. We can't make it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is one of the men of God, and named Nephi, and he saw this before Christ came in the flesh. And, you know, that's amazing how God will reveal things to people before it happens. I mean, even hundreds of years before it happens. Oh, I know some of y'all can't fathom that. You can't even think of, I don't think so. Yeah, you can. Okay. Now, this is what Nephi said. He said, and when he saw Jesus, glory be to God, God began to reveal to him, and if I'm not mistaken, this may have been in a vision or a dream. I hadn't really just looked up with it, but it was revealed to him by the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And God had revealed this thing to him. Hallelujah. Because his father, Lehi, had dreamed a dream. And I believe that's what it was. And God is speaking to him, sending an angel. He wanted to know what did Nephi desire. He wanted to know what was the meaning of the dream that his father saw. I think it was a dream or a vision. But anyhow, this is what Nephi said. And I, Nephi, okay, let me back up a minute. He said, and it came to pass that the angel spake unto me again, saying, look, and I looked and beheld the Lamb of God. So who's the Lamb of God? Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 told us that. That he was taken by the people, yea, the everlasting God, oh boy, showing his divinity, was judge of the world. And I saw him bear record. And I, Nephi, saw that he was lifted up upon the cross and slain for the what? Sins of the world. Did you see that? Sacrificial body. Sacrifice for the world. Sacrifice for the people that was killing them. That's something, ain't it? See, on earth, we'll say a person is crazy that do that. Oh, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some people saw somebody did dirt to you and you did good to them. Those same people are going to say, man, what you do? You're crazy. Do something like that. Well, see, Jesus, he gave himself for the world, for the same people, okay, that were killing him, that were crucifying him. Now, of course, these people thought they were getting over by crucifying, but they just don't know how smart my God is, because he was using that to bring forth the plan of redemption that would give them, get this, to give them a chance to be saved. Now, look at something else he said in this Nephi record. He said, wherefore, redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Now, Jesus is the Holy Messiah. Behold, he offered himself a sacrifice for sin. Did you see that? You hear that? He offered himself a sacrifice for sin to answer the ends of the law unto all those which have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And unto none else can the ends of the law be answered. Nothing else could answer the ends of the law. You broke the law, what was there? Death. Read Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, all the way to the end. Genesis chapter 2, I think it's verse 17, cover the laws. Death, sickness, and poverty. Heart didn't hearken unto the Lord, committed a sin, broke his commandments. What? This curse came upon you, the curse of the law. And nothing could answer it but the sacrificial death of Christ, the atonement, the shedding blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You get what I'm saying? Nothing else could answer. Amen. Nothing else. Hallelujah. Now, once again, I know we don't want to, glory to God, just some people, a lot of religions. You know, some religions, you start talking this about Christ to them, they get mad. They get mad enough to want to do something to you. You know, I'm not going to sit here on the broadcast and lie to you and claim that everybody you approach talking about Jesus to give them the gospel, that they're going to be kind, they're going to have their arms open for you, and they're going to say, woo, let me do a thing for you. Let me give you a car so you can drive around and tell the gospel. No. And everybody's not going to be sitting there going, you know, I don't agree, but I think you're a good person and give you a big old hug. No, some people are going to really want to hurt you. Now, that I ain't tell you that to scare you. I'm just letting you know because some of us as believers, you know, some of us as believers don't think we should be going to do anything. We get mad. The first thing we holler, this shouldn't be happening to me. I'm saved. But see, God never told us because you got saved, you're going to be exempt from trial. Well, I shouldn't have got saved. Well, stuff's still going to hit you anyhow. The better thing is that you be under the covenant of Christ. You have a better chance of standing than not being under the covenant when these things hit. Because I'm telling you people that there's going to be some, there's more stuff. Corona, coronavirus is bad. I'm not trying to make light of it. My mom passed from it. I'm not trying to make light of it. But I'm here to tell y'all, there's some things that's going to come that's going to be greater. Once again, I ain't trying to throw a wrench at you and make you scared. I just have to tell you the truth. There's some things that's going to come that's going to be greater. And if we don't position ourselves right now to be in a place where we become more consecrated to God, we're not going to survive it. Because just you saying you go into church alone is not going to cut it. If you don't have that personal attachment and knowledge and knowing of Christ for yourself, you're not going to survive it. And see, I look at things right now. Don't you notice how things that just look so, if I can use the word funny, you know, the question comes up now, like, by us wearing these masks, or is it a new way of living now? You get all these questions. Man, when Corona hit, man, the questions just start flowing out the path. Amen. It just questions like, oh, okay, this is the new way. Are we in the new norm now? All of those kind of questions came up. And do you know in the midst of this, you know what God expects us to do? Are you ready for this? He expects us to still preach and teach the gospel. Say what? You know, you say, well, why you have to say that? We should know that. Well, you know, some people think they need to quit being servants. Stuff like this will happen. Amen. Just like, see, the government stood up there and told us that going to church service was non-essential. Yeah. Now, I know some of y'all may not agree with what I just said, but we let the government dictate. And the same government that was telling us that if you go in the building to worship, no more than 10 of you and you got to be so many feet apart, you didn't see them watching the cameras in Walmart. I would go on the aisle at Walmart. It would be so many people on one aisle. I had to go to another aisle on purpose. And I didn't go over there on purpose because I'm thinking that they're going to give me Corona. It just, it was so crowded. But see, I looked at how many people was on the aisle. Now, if they would have saw that in a, quote, church building, oh, they would have went bonkers. Oh, y'all preachers should be ashamed of yourself. They ain't 6 feet and all that stuff. But in Walmart, even on our jobs, listen, the job I work on, we can't stay away 6 feet. And I'm talking about because of the work we do. You can't stay away 6 feet. But once again, there's no talk about these jobs because they said the job is essential. But going to worship the Lord is not essential. Now, some of y'all may think ain't nothing to that. You let God minister to you about that statement and you'll see what I'm talking about. Because the future coming up, they're not going to stop at just doing this because of the corona, okay? Because they're going to start working on more on how to dictate. This is why we're telling y'all, like, about Blog Talk Radio here. That's why we're doing all we can do on this internet, Blog Talk Radio, TV, what have you, because the day is going to come that true believers, put quotation marks around the word true, the true believers are going to be denied access to these communication lines. Why is that? Because the government and the people are going to get to a point they're going to want to dictate what you preach or teach. Now, you got a little taste of it back here a few years ago when that woman mayor down there in Houston was mayor, and then what they've been doing with the Army chaplain. You're getting a little taste of it. And what has happened, some of y'all have ignored it. You just say, oh, that's just the day of the time where we're living in. Yeah, it's more than that. It's a sign. It is a sign for what to come. But see, if you keep remain snoring and sleep, then this thing going to grip you, quote, unaware. So it's no game in it, people. This is for real. Okay? Straight up serious, straight up for real. And so what is going to be accepted in these nations? Well, one of them is what I'm talking to you about tonight, spiritualists. Spiritualists going to be all these religions, and you can bank on this. All these religions in the world, and especially here in this nation, watch, they're going to be embraced and accepted more. But Christianity, true Christianity, let me put it that way, put quotation marks around the word true, okay? True Christianity is going to be denied. Now, you can believe me or you can not believe me. All thing I'm going to say to you is sit back and watch. Once again, you're already getting a little taste of it. We're dropping you a little food on a spoon. You're getting a little taste of it right now, okay? They already asking you, the homosexuals, why do you hate them? Because you tell them, say, God says abomination, I agree with God. It is something that God detests. Why do you hate us? You think it's going to stop at that, don't you? Okay, well, if you think so, keep on living. Watch what you're going to see. I just pray that you be in consecration with God to handle it. Because some of these places during this last few years, going back even to Barack's administration, where homosexuality started rising up, some of these places that were claiming to be Christians folded. They folded. They gave in. Why is that, Brother Nate? Well, one of the reasons was their business were getting hit. See, God would allow some things to show you where you at. You understand what I'm saying? If your heart is on your business, they got you. So if you had a booming business and all of a sudden homosexuals come up in there and say, hey, we want you to do this and that for us, and what you do will be honoring homosexuality, and you get up there and say, well, you know how some of us want to say, my religion say I can't do that. And then they get mad and walk out and start marching in front of your place and all that stuff and holding picket signs, and people don't want to come to your place no more and buy none, and you hung up on that, what you think you're going to be doing? When you see them again, you be like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I said that. You know, God loves every man. See, that's the cop-out statement. Yes, he loves every man, but that's a cop-out statement to give in. Amen. Now, you don't have to believe me. I've said this a lot of time before. You ain't got to believe me. Keep living. Watch. Amen. And see, this is another reason why I'm getting these teachings out about these different religions, because, see, it's going to come more and more. They're going to be accepted. And you need to know the truth from that which is not true. And like I told you, if you go on this, some of the websites of just the spiritualists, I just say the spiritualists, they'll tell you, say, we're continuing with the teachings of Christ. They actually claim their teachings are the teachings of Christ. They even claim that Christ teaches reincarnation. Did you get that? Well, see, that's the next section I'll be going into. Okay, that's one of the things in the next section. They even teach us about that. But they say what? It's the teaching of Christ. So now, my question would be, what Christ are you talking about? You talking about the Christ of the Bible? Well, if that's true, then the Bible should support it, now shouldn't it? Amen. But if it ain't true, then you're talking about a false Christ. Okay? A false Messiah. We don't follow no false Messiahs. Not a good thing. Not happening. Okay? Amen. Glory be to God. So, thank you, Jesus. So this, once again, this is part three. I got one more part to this, part four. To round it out. And then I go to my last final section on the spiritualist and then move on, okay? But I want you to see this and get this and understand this, okay? That God don't want you to see, and he wants the people that's practicing it to be delivered, okay? That's what he wants. And Satan, you know, his head is up in there all around doing his thing. Got his head reared up in there. And see, once again, God does not want you to be, you know, caught up in this thing. Because this is deception. It is deceiving. It is misleading. And it can cause your soul. These teaching, you know, this teaching can cause you, this teaching will put you on a path to hell. Yeah. Listen, ain't nobody going to heaven believing that they contacting dead spirits, which are demon spirits. Nobody going to heaven doing that. What? Come on, people, you know, sometimes people don't think. Well, let me put it this way. The people that's supposed to have been studying the Word of God, and you've seen in the Word that the Word displays the nature of God. So why would Almighty God let people be in heaven that teaches these teachings that downs and degrades Christ? Why would he let them go to heaven? What do you think will happen in heaven he let them go there? They'll be doing just like Satan did as Lucifer when he was there, starting stuff. Amen? And God let you know he ain't having that in this house. That's just like some of us down here on this earth. We need to stay in concern our house. But we always throw up, well, you know, God said be in love. Yeah, but he didn't tell you tolerate the sin or the abomination. You letting people smoke weed and drugs in your house and sleep around with other folks in your house. And you up there getting mad, but talking about, but I can't do nothing. That wouldn't be love. But that be the case, the greatest example we got, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he must want walking in love. Because as the Father in heaven, he kicked the devil out and his boys. Okay? So what you going to say to him? That wasn't love? You're going to tell God, I said, that wasn't love, God. You know, you're supposed to tolerate that because you're love. See, we get this. I'm telling you, that's one of the biggest things I see about us in Christianity. We have gotten the love things mixed up. We think love means to be a doormat, to be ran over, to accept these abominations. In fact, we think love, the love of God, means you get involved in that sinful stuff. Okay? Just like some of us, we get around these people with certain religions and say they get on their knees and honor their God, their demon God. And we go, well, for the sake of peace and love, I just get down there with them. You getting down there and you're doing honor to a demon God. What you think the Father in heaven going to do, say, now, yeah, you go ahead and show your worship, your respect to their demon God. I'm all right. I'm fine. No. God said true worship belongs to him. He said, I am a jealous God, okay? Think God will sit back and let you worship and glorify another God and you supposed to be his? No. You forget that. That ain't happening. Not with my Lord and God. Amen? Glory be to God. So, having said that, I want to pray, first of all, for those of you who are spiritualists and may be hearing this. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would touch their hearts and get a hold of them, Lord God. And Lord God, reveal yourself unto them in the name of Jesus. Show them the truth, the real truth, and nothing but the truth, because it is in your nature. And this day, Lord God, I plead the blood over my spirit, soul, and body, that it block off all curses that may be sent by them, every form of witchcraft, every demonic spirit that has been sent. Lord God, let your blood destroy the works of the enemy and cause that curse to fall to the ground in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I plead your blood over me now and your protective shield, the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I plead the blood against the enemy right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, as they even seek to do harm to me and speak evil to me, I pray that your Holy Spirit will grab a hold of them and that the blind scales will be shaken off their eyes. Hallelujah. You know, Lord, like you did Elaine concerning Rebecca Brown, Lord God, and how that she was sent to do her thing against Rebecca, and you grabbed a hold of her. You did. You brought out a witchcraft. So, Lord God, I pray tonight that you do the same thing. In the name of Jesus, show your miraculous hand and your power.
Lord God, because you are God, and besides you, there is no other. No one is greater than thee, Lord God. Every demon and devil in hell tremble at your sight. Lord God, when you speak, they fall powerless against you. Lord, they can't even put a dent in you. They can't even flinch you because you got so much power in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I pray for those who are listening tonight, to the Christian that may have got entangled in any practice of spiritism. I pray that you will move on them to repent and that they will close every door to the enemy. Every door to every demon that had come in, that they will cast them out. In Jesus' name, glory to God. So, Lord God, I thank you. I praise you. And I magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Amen. I thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, tomorrow night, the fourth and final part to this part of the series called Spiritualists, Their Teaching and Belief About Jesus. Part four being tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, 6 to 6:30, 30-minute broadcast. Then Brother Emmanuel Murphy will be on at 7 o'clock. Look for the advertisement then. So once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.